Dad, can you explain again what we're doing?
Sure, Russ. We're kicking off our fun old-fashioned family Christmas by heading out into the country in the old front-wheel drive sleigh to embrace the frosty majesty of the winter landscape. What we're looking for today is the Griswold family Christmas tree.
Isn't it a little big?
It's not big, it's just full.
Dad, that thing wouldn't fit in our yard.
Not going in our yard, Russ. It's going in our living room. A lot of sap in here. Looks great. Little full. A lot of sap.
The big question is, what are you going to do with that big bonus check? You're going to blow it on yourself, I hope.
Me? Heck no.
Take a look at this.
I just hope my Christmas bonus check will cover it.
Oh, my God, you're putting in a pool.
250 strands of lights, 100 individual bulbs per strand for a grand total of 25,000 imported Italian twinkle lights. Drum roll.
Merry Christmas.
I can't believe it.
What is it? A letter confirming your reservation at the Nut House?
It's from my company.
Your bonus.
My bonus.
Open it, Clarky. Open it.
Yeah, I hope it's a fortune, Clark.
That you do, Eddie?
Oh, I was gonna wait till tomorrow to tell you all this, but what the heck? With this bonus check, I'm putting in a swimming pool. That's it. That's the big one.
Open it.
I'm sorry if I've been a little short with everyone lately. I've been waiting for this bonus. To make sure the pool goes in as soon as the ground thaws, I had to lay out the money in advance. And until this little miracle arrived, I didn't have enough in my account to cover the check I wrote.
Tear the sucker open, Dad.
Yeah.
Drum roll.
What's wrong?
Honey?
It's bigger than you expected?
Smaller?
What is it?
The 1-year membership in the Jelly of the Month Club.
Oh, God.
Clark, it's the gift that keeps on giving the whole year.
That it is, Edward. That it is indeed.
I'm sorry, Clark.
This isn't the biggest bag over the head.
All right, Bridgepoint, how we doing? Am I feeling good? We have finished the turkey dinners. We've rounded the corner. Welcome to December and Merry Christmas. Now is the time to begin to get ready. You have four Sundays, counting today. Now that your anxiety is high, let's do a message, and hopefully it'll bring you down, remind you of the joys of Christmas. Downtown, Seminole, Clearwater, Tyrone campus. Everybody excited for Christmas? You feeling good? Here's what I need everybody to do as we start our new series, Wonder the Magic and the Miracle, on every campus. And if you're tuning in online, you type it in and comment. But look at somebody next to you and tell them what your favorite Christmas movie is. Ready? Favorite Christmas movie, every campus, everybody. What's the fave? So I've been looking forward to kicking off this series because I get to jump off with my favorite movie, Christmas Vacation. That's the clip you just saw. If you've never seen that, you're missing out on life. Make sure you catch it on TV. Not the unedited version would be a little not church ready, okay? So catch it on the television. You get to hear the story of Clark Griswold. Gets the family excited to celebrate the magic of Christmas. Goes to pick out at the perfect Christmas tree. He freezes his children and his family. As they walk out there, they cut it down. And then the calamity continues to unfold the rest of the way. Clark was building everything in the movie. Excited to celebrate. Excited for the magic, the decorations, the energy, and all the stuff that goes into Christmas celebration, because he was ready to give his family the gift of a pool. He had dreamed about it. He'd planned for it. He'd written checks that he could not cash and make sure that they were fully funded, because he was putting his hope on the perfect Christmas gift. Cousin Eddie shows up, and everything goes wild from that point forward. I'm not going to spoil it for you, but you need to tune into it. As you enter into December 1st, as you enter into the Christmas season, we've finished our turkey, and now it's time to celebrate. I wonder how many of us stepped onto a Bridgepoint campus, stepped into the thought. I mean, Christmas sell stuff has been in stores since like before Halloween. But as we're seeing all this stuff get ready, I wonder how many of us can feel the wonder and are ready to celebrate that. And I wonder how many of us are beginning to look around and wonder why their insides don't match the spirit and the energy of Christmas that exists outside. In other words, I wonder how many of us are feeling that, you know, what do you do when Christmas feels less like hope and more like a jelly of the month club? What do you do then that you have all your energy and you're building everything towards this big grand thought, and you finally get to that moment and the Christmas bonus from the company doesn't cover the cost of the pool, but instead, as Edward so eloquently put it, he received the gift that keeps on giving all year long, jelly of the month. Now, I wonder how many of us are tuning in today on whatever campus or even online that are looking around and beginning to feel that buzz and to do that shopping and to see how that the magic of Christmas begins to come alive. The decorations are out. The lights are going up. Trees are being lit. Parades are starting to happen. Presents are being bought. Gifts are being placed under the tree. We're all jumping into this season. And I wonder how many of us are looking around at all of that stuff and wondering, is it just us? Is everybody around lying? Like, is there really hope in all of these people? Is there hope when we're yelling at each other at the store? Is there hope, really hope, like when we're stressed out, maxed out, when we're feeling empty and lonely? Is there really hope? Is it just me, or is all this just pretend? What happens? What do you do when Christmas feels less like hope and more like a jelly of the month club? A fake, a phony, a pretend, something that's just not worth it. What then? What do you do with your faith at that moment? You see, since the beginning of time, God's creation, his people have been on a journey. He created folks, specific people to bless them, to be a blessing to others. And from the moment of creation, the moment that sin and opposition to God entered the world, God's people, we all have been really, 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 really good at missing our purpose. We've been really good at missing and prioritizing the wrong things at the wrong times. And even this last series that we just finished, Half Full, go back and watch that. It's a perfect picture of that. But I wonder how many times even you and I in 2019 on December 1st, we're busy just missing it. Busy missing God's plan and God's purpose and what he's desiring to do in and through us. And we're looking around and wondering, what is the point of all of this? Well, see, God's not distant. He's not disconnected. He's not unsure of what's going on in his people. And just like all the way back into the Old Testament of the Bible, God's plan has been in motion from the beginning. In fact, God's people reached a place where they began to wander so far from God that they didn't even realize how far off they were. They were placing their hope and trust in people and in kings and kingdoms and in their performance, their ability to please God by how regularly they went to the temple and made sacrifices there. And they were working really hard to look like everybody around them as if God wanted us to look like everybody else. And they were missing the point of why they were created and the special relationship that God intended for them. And in the midst of their darkness and in the midst of their wandering, in the midst of their confusion, a prophet named Isaiah came and prophesied, meaning he spoke on behalf of God. And in this instance we're about to read, he was actually foretelling good news for God's people because God saw the people wandering in darkness. He saw the spiritual brokenness and the emptiness. He saw the lifelessness and hopelessness that his people had really developed and stepped into. And so Isaiah stepped onto the scene in chapter 9, and he began to share what was really good news to those people. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, Isaiah said, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light." Remember, this is a prophecy, so he's saying this is what's going to happen. That those of us that have walked in darkness will see a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. For to us a child is born. To us a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. God's people suddenly had a breath of fresh air. God's people who were lost, who were wandering in darkness, who thought that they could perform their way into being right with God as if we would ever, you and I, be good enough. God's people who were so worn out, wondering if God was even out there, suddenly had a breath of fresh air. That God was going to come, he was going to send a baby, that the rescue plan was happening. They were filled, I'm sure, with a sense of wonder and excitement because in this day and age, that life was empty. The life was hard. Connecting with God was difficult back then, and they didn't have even the level of access that you and I have because there was an old model in place. But hope came. Hope was prophesied. And I can't imagine if that's not a picture of even what Clark Griswold's problem was. The magic of Christmas was in full effect. The lights were just right after plenty of work. The family had gathered. The tree was perfect, though it caught on fire. Everything was happening the way Clark wanted it to, and it was building to that Christmas bonus moment. And then he got the Jelly of the Month Club. And he launched into a tirade that you heard us cut at the end. And there's a reason we did that. Because everything Clark's hope had been placed in had crumbled around him. That the magic was there, but the wonder of Christmas was gone. You see, from the moment Isaiah spoke the prophecy that breathed the breath of fresh air into God's people, you know what they encountered next? This. That's on purpose, by the way. More darkness. God spoke through Isaiah. He said, rescue plan is happening. It's in motion. A baby's coming. There's good news. All of this is going to take place. And did you know that the people went immediately back to their daily lives and still wandered in darkness? They still felt confusion. They still experienced frustration. They still found the emptiness, the brokenness, the hollowness, the shallowness. They still felt like they were performing in religion and it was absent of the relationship that God desired. Did you know that it took about 600 to 700 years for the baby that Isaiah prophesied about to be born? You see, God's people went back to business as usual, and I'm sure they reached a place where they said, God, do you see this? Like, we heard the words, we got the hope, we found a breath of fresh air, but now back to this? And what do I tell my grandkids, God? Like, I was so certain that you said this, but here we are this many years later, as if God operates on our timetable and our patience should be determined by us. They were still in the darkness. Still more of this. Still for close to 700 years, they wondered and they performed and they felt the emptiness and the shallow, hollow journey of trying to be enough for God to love them as if it was dependent upon us to begin with. But you and I do that too, don't we? I wonder how many of us tuned in to Bridgepoint today and felt maybe some darkness, even related in our faith journey. That God, I felt so strongly, God, that this is what you wanted. But why do I feel like this? Why is the magic all around me, God, but I feel this? God, what about my marriage? Why do I feel this, God? I was so certain. God, I've prayed, I've done so much for my kids, but they seem so far from you. God, my job, I'm giving you all I have. I'm giving it my best, and I know I'm not perfect, but God, why does it feel like this? God, with my finances. God, why is it that when I look into the mirror, I feel like I'm looking into somebody who on the inside is just empty? I feel like I'm wandering. I feel like I'm lost. I'm confused. And in that, I don't know what my next step is to get closer to you. I don't know what you're calling me to. I don't know what to do with this doctor's report. I don't know what to do with this news. How do I handle this? And all the magic's all around me. It's hope is a part of this season, but why do I feel this? Why do I feel like I'm stuck in the addiction? That I'm defined by my circumstances? Why do I feel chained and not free? Why do I feel so paralyzed and stuck? Why does school seem so empty and meaningless? Why, God? Almost 700 years from the breath of fresh air, of people wondering and feeling moments of this emptiness. God, why as a pastor I feel like I have to carry this weight? God, why? What do I do with this, God? Almost 700 years later, Luke, he wrote a book, the New Testament. It's one of the Gospels, Gospel of Luke. In Luke chapter 2, good news happened, starting in verse 1. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. You see the pieces lining up just like that, just like God planned. And everyone went to their town to register. So Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. 600 to 700 years later, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. There were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. 700 years of wondering. 700 years of guessing, 700 long, painful years of confusion, of passing on to the generation behind you, of trying to place your hope in God, 700 years, and then light happens. And interestingly enough, the shepherds, they were terrified. Because we sometimes get so comfortable and so used to living in the darkness and to in the business as usual, to even our performing for God, that when we see light and see path and see plan, it actually terrifies us. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He's the Messiah, the Lord." God's people were desperate for that. They held on to the breath of fresh air that about 700 years before Isaiah had promised. And suddenly the baby came. The Savior was there. The rescue from this cycle of empty, broken, dark living was going to change because the Messiah had come. Jesus was born, and 2,000 years later, you and I get the benefit of pointing back to that day and saying, no longer does my life need to be defined by the darkness, because God's rescue plan is in action, and his hope has come for me, because when that baby was born, hope entered the world. And it's a hope you can hang on to. It's a hope you can cling to. It's a hope that will withstand the weight of your world and your journey, of your frustrations and your doubts, of your confusion, and in the moments where all of us find ourselves walking with questions and darkness and frustrations all around us, because the Messiah came, the rescuer entered the world, the plan was happening, hope was born. Not just any hope, though, because Hebrews describes it as we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters in the inner sanctuary behind the curtain, which for the people that was written in the Hebrews, it meant we can bank on this. It's secure and it's strong and it's big and it can shoulder our weight. It's a hope that will anchor our souls. I wonder how many of us are entering into the Christmas season tossed and turned and beat down and worn out and confused. There's hope. There's hope you can anchor deep in the core of who you are, your soul. You can anchor your soul to hope, but not to a person, not to a job, not to a thing, not to a stuff, but to a God that's been working his plan out in your life and in mine. Did you know that's available to you? And that happened because Christmas happened. Because Jesus was born, everything changed. I love the way C.S. Lewis talked about hope. C.S. Lewis is a Christian thinker, a Christian writer. C.S. Lewis said this about hope. It's one of the theological virtues. It's a good thing. This means that a continual looking forward to the eternal world is not, as some modern people think, a form of escapism or wishful thinking, but one of the things a Christian is meant to do. He continues, "It does not mean that we're to leave the present world as it is. If you read history, you'll find that the Christians who did the most for the present world were just those who thought most of the next." You see, because Jesus came, you and I are no longer confined or defined by the circumstances that exist around us, because we're living for a world that is better and is yet to come. So when life tosses us and beats us and it's confusing and it's dark and it feels so frustrating and you don't know what to do with the news you've received, you remind yourself that we're just passing through because the rescue plan is here and hope was born. His name was Jesus. Old Clarkie Griswold put it all in a check that he wanted to come. He was certain. He could hope for it. He was telling his friends. He was planning for his family. He was dreaming about it. But what happened when that hope was crushed? Then what happened? What about for your journey? Some of you new to faith, unsure about faith. Some of you have been walking for a while. Some of you are not certain about God because he hasn't come through for you in the way that you expected. What then? What do you do with those moments in that kind of darkness? I think of the Christmas carol, O Holy Night. Because the big idea of today's message is this. It's the thrill of hope that leads a weary world to rejoice. Guys, our world's tired. It's because we're tossed around. We're beat down. We depend on each other, and then we let each other down because we weren't made to carry the burdens of another. We throw our hope on a government or an organization or a person or a bank account or a job or our abilities or our status or our opportunity to perform and step up and achieve and to be, and we think we're made to carry all that and we're big enough to handle it, but our world and us as individuals, we get crushed because we weren't made for that. And so we lash out and we become defensive and we start fighting and we disagree and everything escalates and the world gets more difficult because while the magic of Christmas may exist all around us, inside we feel empty and there's no wonder because inside there's no thrill of hope. There's no future until Jesus came. And I'm talking about a true hope, a hope that's God-sized. A hope that can shoulder the weight of the world. Not in your abilities. Not that the relationship will work. Not hope in a substance to get you by, but a hope that has plans and purpose for you. A hope that was a person. A hope whose name was Jesus. We can have wonder. We can enjoy the magic of Christmas all around us because the miracle changes everything. The miracle guides us. The miracle points us to the future. The miracle gives us hope. And that hope propels us to live in ways that are different than people that don't have that kind of hope. Colossians 1:27 says, "To them, God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery." What's the mystery? Christ in you, the hope of glory. That because there was a baby 2,000 years ago, because he came, because he lived a life of love that was different, that was freeing, that was purposeful, that was everything God intended him to be, and because he went to the cross to die in my place, because of my darkness and my opposition to God and my choices. But even when he died on that cross and was placed in a tomb, he stood up out of that grave 3 days later and defeated sin and death forever so that my life is not defined on this world, but my worth is derived from a God who one day we'll get to return to. I can have hope, not because of me, but because of the baby born 2,000 years ago, the miracle that existed that God put on flesh and dwelt among us, that he's present with us, that he's working in us, that he's shaping us, and that he's helping us to walk in the plans and purposes that he's made for, and it changes how we live. Have you got to a place where you can experience Christ in you? That you recognize that you need the rescue plan that God's people always have needed because of the sin and separation in your own life? Have you got to a place where you can believe, and I know that it's wild, but believe that Jesus was born as God and man, that he died a death that I deserve, but he rose defeating sin and death forever? That committing your life to that plan and path allows you to experience God and the hope of all God's plans for you forever in eternity. That's all coming. And it changes us, man. Look at how 1 Peter 3:15. "But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, set apart, different, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect." There's hope available to us because God is available to us. Can I ask you something? Do you know hope? Do you have hope? Are you living for something bigger? Are you looking at the Christmas magic? Or maybe just looking at this year or the year that is to come? Do you have hope in something that lasts? That won't fail you? Because his name is Jesus, and that's why we celebrate. Hey, believers, can I ask you something? Is anybody looking at your life and asking why you're so filled with hope? Because as we step into the Christmas season, now more than ever, our lives should be loud with hope. We should be dispensing hope like it's candy canes, because that's the power of what will guide people past the temporary into the forever that God has planned for us, to do it gently and respectfully. I hope this Christmas that you can see the wonder of why Jesus' birth changed everything. I hope that you'll enjoy the magic of the decorations and the lights and the things and the stuff and the presence and the spirit. But I hope in the midst of your celebration that you remind yourself of the miracle of Christmas. That right in the midst of our darkness, right in the midst of our hopelessness, baby was born, and that baby changed the world. That the miracle is that while we are a dark and hopeless people by nature, we suddenly have life, light, and hope in Christ, in Jesus. Do you know that hope this Christmas? Merry Christmas, Bridgepoint. I hope that it's a season of hope. Will you pray with me? God, it's December 1st. Some of us ready, some of us not. Wide range of emotions on every campus and every computer tuned in right now about all the things related to the wonder of Christmas. God, I hope this season brings us fun and excitement as we soak in the magic of the stuff. But God, as a people that needs something more than lights and trees and presents, I hope that this is the beginning of a season that we find true hope. Hope for our souls. Hope that can light up our dark places. Hope that can guide us on the best and worst of days. Hope that plans for forever and isn't defined by the temporary. Hope that leads us to do wild things that people have to ask us where our hope comes from. And Jesus, that answer is you. Thank you, God, for the rescue plan. Thank you, God, for sending your son. Thank you for the baby that became the Savior, the Messiah, Christ the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.